Our next guest is won a Super Bowl. Well, maybe won a Super Bowl, but I know he won a World Series ring with the Boston Red Sox. Now helping coach the Edmonton Prospects. Orv Franchuk joins us again. Orv, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. I know you have a World Series ring, but you don't have a Super Bowl ring, do you?
No, I didn't get one of those.
Well, I thought you were in Boston. Maybe you just picked one up because they were winning a lot when you were there. So.
Probably could get one if I'm sure there's a few of them around.
Now, I want to, just because, you know, there's so much talk about, and I was reading the article today, you know, some pitchers talking about, you know, little different secrets on, you know, scuffing the ball and different things they do. We saw the Milwaukee reliever, you know, get kicked out because he had suntan lotion and resin and maybe mixed together. Or being a former pitching coach, how much doctoring of the ball really goes on, and how much of it do you think is within the rules of gamesmanship compared to being outright illegal?
Well, I think there's so much of it that we don't ever hear about. But I mean, the guys that did it were the guys that weren't afraid to admit they did it, and Gaylord Perry. And I mean, there's a ton of guys behind him that did it, but they're doing it now. And I mean, people say that the pine tar and any kind of sticky stuff on their glove or on their arm isn't going to affect the baseball. They don't know what they're talking about because it does. It does. First of all, it gives the pitcher, you know, the grip, gives them a better grip to throw a certain pitch. And then if you have enough on it, it's gonna affect the flight of the ball. So, you know, those things being taken into consideration as a hitter. I was not a pitching guy, but as a catcher and a hitter, you were always aware of that kind of stuff. And over the years, you know, in professional baseball, being a hitting coordinator and a hitting coach, you're always looking for guys like that because. You felt like if you could help the hitter in any way to give them that information. And sometimes it was good just not to say anything to them because if you did, then they were looking for it. And before you knew it, strike three, go sit down. So, yeah.
You know, it is interesting how you mentioned a lot of it doesn't go on. How do guys, and a lot of it maybe is just the psychological advantage more than anything else, I'm guessing, right? Or some guy thinks, hey, you know what, if I do this with the ball, I'm going to pitch better. And maybe it really has no actual impact on how the ball actually rotates.
Yeah, you know, and funny because that part of it, and also sometimes a pitcher will get it. At the big league level, they watch it pretty close, but at the minor league level, at the lower levels, a lot of times a ball will get scuffed, even cut, and the certain pitchers that know how to throw with that kind of cut or whatever it is, they don't want to throw it back to the umpire. They don't want to get a new ball. They want to use that ball to throw because it'll do some things that will affect the hitter. But then there's certain pitchers and usually younger guys, they want a nice clean brand new slick ball to throw, and so. I don't ever understand. And then, you know, a lot of the stuff, the scuffing stuff and the doctoring of the baseball is not always done by the pitcher. The catchers have a lot to do with it too. Sometimes they have a little sandpaper in their glove or whatever it might be. And as they receive the ball, you know, it's really easy for them to scuff the ball up and give it back to the pitcher. So it's not always a pitcher. This is a guilty party.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I'm sure the catchers, if they put it in the right place in their glove, it's going to be pretty hard to detect.
Very difficult. Very difficult. Not to say that I never did it over the years. I'm not going to say I did, and I'm not going to say I did. But you can have it on your uniform, you can have it in your glove, you can have it in your hat. I mean, there's so many places that you can put this stuff. And so the people, there's guys that have done it for years and have never been caught. And so, you know, it's like anything else. People do stuff that isn't legal, but they don't get caught, so nobody knows about it.
Or franchise coach of the Edmonton Prospects. You're dealing with a lot of young players who I'm sure, you know, nowadays with the internet, they're reading everything and seeing different things like that. If a young guy comes to you and says, hey, coach, I'm thinking on doing this, what's your reaction? Did you ever have a coach who encouraged you to do it or discouraged you to do it? How does that work?
Well, first thing, as a coach, as a hitting guy, I'm going to be working with the hitters, basically, mostly with the prospects. I hate to change people. I like to make suggestions, and usually the suggestions are for a reason. But I'm not real big on taking a hitter and completely do a complete makeover, unless it's absolutely necessary. So, you know, but suggestions and my suggestions mostly are fairly, you know, good suggestions that with the experience that I've had and the number of people that I've worked with, I've got a pretty good idea what needs to be done. But I don't force people. I don't like to force people to do certain things. I just say, try this or try that, and they do. And if they have success with it, it's always good because then usually they make the adjustment right away. But a lot of times they'll try something and for a day or two, and if it doesn't work, you know, they feel like they're just going to go back to the way they were doing it. So those are always things. The biggest thing for me with every player that I work with is I want to try to establish a relationship, a trust, and if I can do that, that really helps because there's trust and there's confidence in what I'm talking about. So and every guy's different. They're all different, and you have to be able to try to figure out what needs to be done to help that kid.
I'm guessing that the biggest challenge at this level for you is when you see a player who clearly, if he wants to go to the next level and improve, he's going to have to alter something. And a lot of us, by human nature, we're a little resistant to change, especially if you don't have instant success over it. It's got to be, how do you get guys to stick through it and say, okay, you know what, I know this might not feel good for day one or day two, and maybe not even a week, but trust me, down the road, it will help you. Is that the biggest challenge?
Yeah, you know, and a lot of times it's the failure part, and there's so much failure in this game. If they continue to fail doing it the way they've been doing it, then usually they'll come crawling to your door and say, or knock on the door and say, can you help me? So it's, you know, and that usually is the end result is when they struggle and for a long period of time, then they're the only way they can go is saying, I need help. Try to help me with this. But you know, a lot of times it's not so much the mechanics, but it's more the mental part of the hitting process. And there's so much that goes into the mental part of the hitting process that a lot of kids don't even know about or even realize that they have to have that as part of their makeup when they go to the plate. And so we spend a lot of time on that with our young players.
Or the home opener is this Saturday at 7:05, of course, right here on TSN 1260. Then you got against Medicine Hat. How's your roster shaping up compared to previous years? I know that obviously the last few years haven't gone the way that the organization would like. When you look at your roster this year, is there reason to be optimistic that your on-field results will be better?
Yeah, the kids that we've got 11 kids returning, and that means they've got an extra year under their belt. They were away in American Canadian colleges during the off season, during the winter, and then we're bringing in 8 imports kids from the U.S. And then we have 16 local guys that are going to be on the team that are in colleges and universities across the country. So we feel pretty good about what we're going to have to start the season with. And you know, on paper, you know how paper can be. Paper sometimes will lie to you, but on paper, we feel pretty confident with what we have.
Are you more of a speed team? Are you a power hitting team? What kind of team do you think you'll be at the plate?
Well, I think we're going to have a little bit of everything. You know, pitching and defense wins games, and so we feel like we're going to be better on the bump, and we feel like we're going to be better defensively. And I kind of always say that if you have pitching and defense, the offense kind of takes care of itself. So that's kind of what we're hoping. You know, some of these kids I haven't seen, so it's hard for me to say. Well, you know, we're going to have guys that are going to hit balls out of the ballpark, or we're going to have a speed team. I think we're going to be better. We're going to have more speed this year than we had last year, and we're going to be better defensively, and I think we're going to pitch better. So all of those things taken into consideration, we should be better.
Well, Orv, always great to talk baseball with you. Enjoy the season opener on Saturday night.
Thank you for having me.